Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the first Psalm, Book of Psalms, and the first Psalm. In the first two verses of Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And our subject this evening is the blessed man. The blessed man, as we consider this first psalm and begin another new series in the book of Psalms. I've tentatively given the title of the series, The Psalms We Treasure, because we're not going to be going through every single one of the psalms. We're going to be looking at selected psalms and particularly those psalms that we know very well, and as has already been prayed, they become so familiar to us that we don't really take them in, and we don't meditate upon them and fully grasp the wonder of them. So that is what we are going to be doing in this series. So it's going to be a relatively shorter series in the book of Psalms than we have had in the book of Isaiah. Although, of course, it would have been possible to have spent even longer in the Psalms, because it is the longest book in the whole Bible, Isaiah, with its 66 chapters. There are, of course, 150 Psalms in this book, in the book of Psalms, the longest of which, of course, is Psalm 119 with its 176 verses. And the shortest being Psalm 117, which only has two verses in it and is, in fact, the shortest chapter in the whole Bible. But it's full of wonderful things, this book of Psalms. The title, Book of Psalms, really can be translated the Book of Songs or the Book of Praises. And the Psalms are, of course, most commonly associated with David, with King David, because he wrote most of the Psalms, although there are, of course, other Psalms that are attributed to others. There are the Psalms of Asaph, there are 12 Psalms of Asaph, 10 Psalms that are dedicated to the sons of Korah, 2 Psalms of Solomon, 1 Psalm of Ethan, 1 of Heman, and one of Moses, of course, Psalm 90, that wonderful psalm of Moses, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Some psalms, of course, I should mention, are anonymous, as in they don't have a title attached to them, although most of those that don't, including this one, Psalm 1, are believed to have been written by David at some stage. And these psalms, if you examine them as a totality, they are composed over roughly a 900-year period from the time of Moses to the time when the Jews returned to Jerusalem after the exile in Babylon. And, there are many other things I could mention just in introduction, but we're going to be considering much of the details of the Psalms as we go through the series, so I won't spend very long in explaining what the book of Psalms is. Many of you know very well what it is, but let me just add this before we look at Psalm 1. The book of Psalms is, of course, a much-loved book of the Bible, and a great part of the reason why it is so loved is because so many of the Psalms, in fact, all of the Psalms, resonate so personally with us. no matter what state, no matter what condition we are in, whether we are weak or strong, whether we're happy or sad, excited or depressed, full of love for God or full of confusion as to God's ways, if we are at peace with God or if we have committed great sin, well, there is a psalm for every situation in this book of Psalms. And so this is why it is so popular, if I can put it that way. This is why it is so loved. And of course, that so many of the Psalms are prayers. They teach us how to pray. They help us to pray. When we don't know how to pray, when we struggle to pray, well, the advice that I certainly give to people is go to the book of Psalms. They will help you. You read them. You can even mouth the same words, but they will inspire you to bring your petitions to the Lord. So for all of these reasons, this is why the Psalms and certain Psalms in particular are so treasured and so precious and so worthy of our study. And this is what we shall endeavor to do in this series, beginning with Psalm 1. So the title, as I've already mentioned, The Blessed Man. And this is how it begins. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so the whole book of Psalms begins with a benediction. Blessed is the man. With the state of blessedness. To be blessed speaks essentially of being in a happy condition, to be in a state of happiness. And in the scriptures, of course, to be in a state of happiness is because one knows the favor of the Lord. That is the reason why we are so contented, so at peace, so happy, so blessed. It's because we know the favor of the Lord, not because we have the riches of the world, not because we have the approval of the world, not because we follow the world in any way. It's because we have the favor of the Lord. That is what it means to be blessed. And this is the only way that man can truly know what it is to be happy. Everyone, everywhere is looking for happiness. What is the way to happiness? Well, it is by drawing near to the Lord, by revering him, by praising him, and by knowing him. That is the only way somebody can be truly blessed. It's the only way somebody can be truly at peace and happy. And this is, of course, why we go out with the gospel, or one of the great reasons why we go out with the gospel. We remember this as we go out. We are showing people the way to happiness, to true joy, to contentment that they cannot find anywhere else. And so we are serving, we are truly serving this community or whoever it is we are witnessing to. When we share the gospel, we're showing them the way to be blessed, the way of true happiness. That's what we're doing. We're not oppressing them. We're not seeking to upset them or depress them. We are seeking to show them the way of true blessedness. And so this is how the book of Psalms begins. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So this is my first heading this evening. The blessed man is, we shall read, he's separate from the rest of the world. This is what is presented here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man, the truly blessed man, is separate from the rest of the world. So the rest of this psalm is going to make a distinction, or is going to provide a contrast between the blessed man, the man who knows God, and the man who does not know God, or the rest of the world that does not know God, the man who is ungodly. And when we read that word ungodly, that means one who has no esteem for God, no esteem for the Lord, no fear of God, no true understanding of God, and certainly no obedience to God. So this is the contrast even in the first verse. There's the man who is blessed, the man who loves God, the man who is in the divine favor of God because he knows God and obeys God. But then there is another group, those who do not walk in the ways of the Lord, those who are sinners, those who are against God. And as I often say in preaching the gospel, these are the only two kinds of people in the world. The only two kinds. There are no other kinds of people ultimately in the sight of God. Only two kinds of people in the world. The world and then the church. And these words are interesting because it teaches us that the church is not only set apart from the world, but the church is defined as much by what it does not do as by what it does do. The church is defined by what it does not do, or a Christian, you can say, is defined as much by what he doesn't do as by what he does do, because this is how it starts. Blessed is the man that does not do something, that does not walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So this is the first definition of the blessed man. He's defined by something he doesn't do. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And let's start trying to understand what these things mean. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, that word walk or walketh implies a way of life, one's general conduct or how you live. How do you live? The blessed man, the Christian man, the godly man, does not live in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, we live in a world that is ungodly, full of unbelievers, and the blessed man does not live according to their ways. He does not adopt the way of the world. He does not live as they do. He does not have the same worldview that they have. He does not have the same lifestyle as they have. He does not have the same objectives, the same aims, the same goals. We spoke about this on the Lord's Day. He is different. He has a different mindset. His mind has been transformed. His mind has been renewed by the Holy Spirit. And this is a sign of blessedness. This is a sign that he is blessed. He does not live in the same way as the rest of the world. This is what it is to be truly blessed. And he does not take heed to the counsel of the ungodly. When the world has difficulties, the world approaches problems in a very different way to a Christian, or it approaches problems in a very different way that is prescribed in the Word of God, very differently, a way that has no reference to God. And so we understand that. We don't take counsel from the world. Our counsel, as we shall see in just a few moments, our advice, our guidance, comes from the Word of God. It does not come from the world. And so we have to be wary of this. We have to apply this as we go through. Do we, even as believers, do we look to the way that the world acts and responds certainly to difficulties? And do we follow that way? Do we follow that advice? The world always has so much advice about how we are to live, how we are to build our careers, how we are to relate to other people, how we are to aspire to certain things. We don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, in the counsel of the world. Our guidance in all the decisions of life comes from the Word of God. We don't take counsel from the ungodly, from the world around us. That's the first instruction here. That's what it is to be blessed. You don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You have something far better. Something far better than just the opinions and the advice of men who don't know anything at all, who are weak in wisdom, cannot see beyond the second that they are living in. We have something far better. We have the counsel of the living God. So we don't have to walk according to the advice of the world around us. So that's the first sign of blessedness. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Well, this communicates to us how there are those who, they will count themselves amongst those who rebel against God. So they do not stand in the way of God. There are two ways presented before us in our lives. There's the way of God, the way that God wants us to go. There's the way that the world wants us to go. And, the world always stands in the way of the sinners. The world makes its way in that way, if I can put it in those terms. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. So they reject the way of God and they go in the way of sinners. And by the way, these words imply that there is a sort of progress, a dreadful progress. But this is the way that the natural man continues in his life. When he is born, the natural man without God, well, he will take on board the wisdom of the world. He will take on board the counsel of the ungodly. And then there will be a progression. Soon, because he has taken the advice of the world, then he will actually begin to sin when he gets into his teenage years or his young adult years, because he's imbibed the way of the world and been taught by the world. Then the next progression, then he actually begins to stand in the way of sinners and identify himself as a sinner and do those things that sinners do. That's the way he goes. So there's a progression here. The counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, those who actively commit sin, and then sitting in the seat of the scornful. Well, this is how the world normally ends up. They followed the counsel of the world. They've gone their own way that makes them more sinful. And then they sit in the seat of the scornful, which means that they settle there. They become hardened. They don't want to consider anything else than their own way, and they become scornful. Well, we know people like these, of course, we meet them very often. The sinner, when they get to a certain age, well, they will begin to mock the things of God. They will begin to mock the gospel. They are scornful. They will say to you, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no God, I'm not moving anywhere. You're not going to convert me. So that they're sitting, they're settled. They're not going to be turned back to the things of God. This is the end. This is the end of the progression. Now they've come to the end of their lives, and now they just mock at Christians and laugh at the things of God. So this is a terrible progression or degradation, but this is how it is. They've imbibed the counsel of the world, of the ungodly. They've begun to sin, stand in the way of sinners. They've forsaken the way of God to go their own sinful way. And then at the end, well, then they settle there. They sit in the seat of the scornful. And this is, well, the way of the natural man, the way of the ungodly person. What a terrible state to be in. But again, we have to ask ourselves, do we look like this at any time in our lives? Do we take that counsel of the ungodly? Do we at times forsake the way of God and stand in the way of sinners? Do we go that way? Do we, as it were, sit in the seat of the scornful? Do we sin and we think nothing bad is going to come of it? God won't do this. God won't do that. That can be in our own hearts. But if we're to know blessedness, we don't entertain such things. But the blessed man, therefore, is separate. He is separate from the world. That's the first heading. And my second heading is the blessed man loves the word of God. That's what we read in verse 2. But his delight, so the blessed man, first of all, he's defined by what he does not do. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, etc. So what does he do? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So this is what the man of God or the woman of God turns to. For guidance, for counsel in all things, in all the big decisions, how to think, how to behave. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is his great delight. And he meditates upon the word of God. Now, how much more ought we to meditate on the word of God? Remember, when this psalm was written, they did not have the entirety of the scriptures. They only had the Old Testament or part of the Old Testament. They did not have the New Testament, which sheds so much light on the Old Testament and helps us to understand the Old Testament and puts everything together in a wonderful way. And yet, even in the time of Israel, they would meditate on the word of God. And so we ought to be like that also. Do we meditate? Meditate on the word of God. Sometimes we get into the habit of reading the Bible just as a routine. We read it and then it's gone out of our heads. As soon as we've read it, then we go on and do something else. It just becomes a routine. We are to meditate, says this psalm. In his law doth he meditate day and night. What does that mean? Well, of course, it means that we think upon the things that we read. We think upon what is presented to us, what it means. What is God trying to say to me through these words? How does this apply to my life? What does this teach me about God? These words, even the words that we're considering this evening, they are revealing something to us about God and about how God sees things, about how God sees the world, two types of people. Well, how does that apply to us? Well, then, of course, we have to ask ourselves, how do I look in the sight of God? Which way am I walking? Which side am I on? That's what it is to meditate upon the word of God. You think about what is being presented to you. You apply it to yourself. You learn about the Lord. And you think upon these things. And the word is presented here. Well, it's a delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That is so challenging for us, is it not? Again, sometimes we consider it to be a chore at times, to open up the word of God as though this is some punishment or something grievous that we have to do, to read the word of God every day. Let us pray that the Lord changes our hearts, that it will be a great delight to open up the word of God, that we will see the word of God, one commentator put it this way, as our best friend. The word of God as our best friend that you always refer to, just as you would perhaps ring up your best friend if you had a problem, if you had a situation on your mind or in your life, you ring up your best friend. Well, why not turn to the word of God, to the book of Psalms, to comfort you for wisdom in this difficult situation, in this trial perhaps that you're going through? This is my best friend, this word of God. I will look to it, I will read it, I will follow it, I will not be parted from it. This is my delight. We have to pray that the Lord changes our hearts, that we delight in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. The blessed man loves the word of God. But let me go on to my third heading. The blessed man shall prosper. The blessed man shall prosper. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The blessed man shall prosper. Now, the picture that is given here is a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that's a picture that, it communicates to us a well-fed tree. A tree by a river of water is well-fed. It's well-nourished, isn't it? It's not like a tree planted in a dry place, in an arid place. It's a tree planted by rivers of water. It's strong. It flourishes. It is well nourished. And we apply it to what we've just read. Why is this tree so flourishing? Well, it is fed by the word of God, the law of the Lord. He meditates day and night. Again, dear friends, this is why we are to be like those trees rooted in the word of God. If we are distracted by anything else, well, we will not be so well nourished as believers. Sometimes there are people, they are believers, yes. They are true believers. They have been planted into the kingdom of God by faith in Christ, but they cannot seem to grow. They're not like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They seem to be like the tree that is planted in a desert place. They're saved, yes, but they can't grow. They can't flourish. Why not? Well, because they hardly read the word of God. They hardly turn to it. And if they do, it's just a routine. They don't meditate upon it. They hardly ever pray. They're hardly ever in fellowship with God. How can you grow? How can you flourish if you cannot turn to the Lord? And if you are not being nourished by him, by his word, through prayer? The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and therefore he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and he brings forth his fruit in his season. You can always tell somebody who is daily in the word of God, daily praying to the Lord, because, well, they start to bring forth fruit in their lives. They start to do more for the Lord. And they don't do it grudgingly. They do it willingly. You can see they're changing. They're starting to put the Lord first. You can see the fruit in their lives. You can see the fruit of the Spirit. We know what the fruit of the Spirit is. More faith, more love, more joy in their lives, more temperance, self-control, things that they struggled with before. They are able to overcome and to have victory. You can see the fruit in their life. And this, again, this is as a result of the word of God, trusting in the word of the Lord, praying to the Lord, seeking his wisdom, seeking his counsel, being separate from the world. These are all ways of growing and bearing forth fruit for the Lord. His leaf also shall not wither. The next part of verse 3. Well, again, this is wonderful. There's so much we could say about that. The illustration, again, gives us the idea of a tree that is resilient, of a tree that has vitality, even despite all the wind and the rain and the storms that lash against this tree. The leaf does not wither. That's a picture of a Christian, of course. We know this. A Christian who is strong in the Lord, even despite the storms of life. They shall not wither. In fact, they seem to get stronger. The storms only condition them to be stronger, help them to have more faith, help them to have more trust in the Lord. And the older they get, well, we have those words in 2 Corinthians, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Bodily, we grow, we get older, we get aged, but actually our leaf is not withering. The inward man, that which is most important, is being renewed day by day. His leaf also shall not wither. This is so different to the world. This is what it is to be blessed. The world, somebody in the world who does not know the Lord gets older, well, they don't prosper, they do wither. They become more bitter, they become more resentful, they get very sad because they don't have things to look forward to in their lives. A Christian is very different. A Christian is blessed and knows only greater communion and strengthening of the Lord. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So that is the great theme of that verse. The blessed man prospers in all that he does. All things work together for good, writes the Apostle Paul in the letter to the Romans. Even our failures. Sometimes we do things and they appear to be failures, but there is nothing that we do that that is in vain. That's the promise of God. Nothing that we do is in vain. Everything is according to the Lord's purpose. Everything we do shall prosper. It reminds me of, the last time we went out to Peckham Rye, this gentleman who got very angry with us tried to stop me from preaching. And in a way, he did stop me from preaching for the whole hour. And at the end, he said to me, well, you've achieved nothing at all, as if we had not prospered in that whole time. You've achieved nothing at all. Well, of course, we have achieved something. We have mounted a witness for the Lord. A witness, well, it may well have been ignored by this man, but it's a witness that will stand against him on the day of judgment. This man has no excuse. This man cannot say that no Christian came to tell him the gospel. It was not in vain. We went out, we witnessed to the Lord, and all that we do most certainly prospers. But then we come to our fourth heading. The blessed man is known of God. And we read from verse 4 to verse 6 to the end of the psalm. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The blessed man is known of God. The ungodly are not so, we read in verse 4, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So those who do not know the Lord, well, they are not blessed, they do not prosper. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff is worthless. The chaff is just the husks of the corn that are removed from the wheat. They're separated from the wheat. And we read earlier in Matthew chapter 25, at the end of time, there will be a great separation. The sheep and the goats, and one side, the sheep will go to be with the Lord. The goats will be sent into everlasting punishment. And this is what is being referred to here. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. There's a separation, and they're so easily removed, the wind drives them away. Therefore the ungodly, verse 5, shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. When we stand before God at the end of our lives, at the end of time, the ungodly shall not stand. They will not be able to mount any argument against God. When we see them now, they're all very bold. They're all very proud. They all have their arguments against God. But all of these will be stopped, will be ceased at the very end of time. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They will be silenced. They will be speechless. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Sinners will not find their way to heaven. Sinners do not want to go to heaven. Sinners do not want God to rule and to reign over them. And so therefore, the righteous will congregate in heaven, of course, in that eternal place of happiness and bliss, but not sinners. They will not be found there, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Spurgeon gave a very good quote regarding that part of the psalm. A fish could sooner live upon a tree than the wicked in paradise. They have no place in paradise. It would be, in a sense, unnatural for them to be in paradise. They choose their own destination, in a sense, in forsaking the things of God. They choose their final destination, and that is, well, eternal loss and punishment. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Well, of course, the Lord knows the ways of every single one of us. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, and he knows the way of the ungodly. Of course he does. This verse is not implying that he does not know what the ungodly get up to. The Lord knows the ways of each and every human being. But what this verse is saying here is that the Lord knows in that he approves. He approves the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord approves the way that we walk, the way that we take, even though we are at times so weak, even though we are at times so frail, even though we fall at times, the Lord is well pleased with us. Why is he well pleased with us? Well, it's because of Christ. It's because we are walking in the way that he has shown us. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It reminds us, well, of two things. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is really a summing up of this first psalm. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is what it is to be blessed. We depart from iniquity. We do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And the Lord knows us and approves of us. And then, of course, we think again of that scene at the very end of time when many will go to the Lord claiming that they have done good works in his name. And remember what the Lord says to them, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never had that relationship with you, that relationship of love and devotion. You were never saved. He never knew the ungodly, but he knows the way of the righteous. He knows them. He loves them. So this is the distinction being made here. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. But remember, it's only by the grace of God. We were once, if we are saved here, we were once those who did all those things that we read of in verse 1. We did walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We did stand in the way of sinners. We did sit in the seat of the scornful, mocking at the things of God. What changed? What is now the difference between us and the unbeliever? It's only the grace of God. It's only God's loving kindness and his salvation, his work of atonement. It's because of him. And really, he is the man who is blessed. When we read these words, blessed is the man who is free from sin. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, turns away from the world, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, whose work shall never decay, his leaf shall not wither, all that he does shall prosper. What is this psalm really about? Or who is this psalm really about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the blessed man. And the Lord knows us and approves of us only because of him. He is at the very heart of this psalm. He is at the very heart of so many of the psalms, of the book of Psalms. It's Christ who we see. He is the blessed man, and it is because of him that we too are blessed. We receive every blessing of the Lord. We receive happiness and peace and joy because of him. So, dear friends, this is what a blessed man looks like. This is the first psalm. I trust, I hope that that has been a blessing and an encouragement to us. May the Lord bless us as we work our way through this series.